Amplify the value of design. We've all heard this or even said it at some point in our careers. Companies are actively involving designers in different parts of the organization, and our work now quite often involves us having to deliver design at scale.
This is where design ops comes in.
Not to be confused with DevOps.
Oh yeah, we should make that clear.
Yep. Dave Malouf, the father of design ops, says that design ops are the grease, rails, and engine that makes design's processes, methods, and craft as valuable as possible.
And DevOps started to gain traction with the rise of agile development. It rose from the need that different people have to be responsible for writing the code and for looking after the infrastructure it's deployed on, because features needed to be pushed out to users quickly and efficiently.
And while design ops has risen from similar pressures, it focuses more on the practice of design in organizations.
It started with the creation of design systems and component libraries, a topic for a whole new episode, but has now matured to also figuring out designer teams' values and principles. We also have so many different tools to work with these days, and design ops can help designers choose and decide on processes that make our workflows more efficient.
It's also about building the bridge between not only different kind of designers, but also across product teams and developers. So, to find out more about this, we talked to the founders of Helsinki Design Ops community.
Hello, my name is Angelos Arnis. Currently I'm working in Elisa and I'm advocating the design ops mentality in the company.
And
hello, my name is Sonja Krogius. I'm a lead designer at Nordcap. Nordcap is an advanced design studio based in Helsinki.
We discuss with them what values design ops brings to a company and how you can get started. I'm Maya.
And I'm Elina. And you're listening to Nudging Pixels. So, there might be some people thinking like, okay, design ops, another design term that comes around that doesn't mean anything. So let's talk about the serious examples of it. So where have you seen design ops make a difference in your work?
I was recently watching this talk from a person from Intuit, and they were discussing about how they implemented design ops into their company, and they had roughly 500 designers, which is quite a lot. And then they measured actually that the design time of each designer in the company was roughly 15 hours per week. So then they started studying, you know, what happens on all the other hours. And then they started by, in a way, you know, solving a lot of issues. Like, for example, okay, let's solve the issue of onboarding of new designers. You know, how do they come in? What kind of information do they need and all that? So that maybe not a lot of other designers have to deal with that. Let's solve the operations around that and kind of like maybe the HR parts and so on. And I guess they did all kinds of other experiments, and then they managed to get from 15 hours per week to 20 hours per week per designer, which was, it was a kind of like a very incremental approach towards this, because, you know, they gained a lot of time to actually do design work and contribute to the products that they're building.
So multiply that with 500.
Yeah, so it can be quite effective even if you solve like 1 or 2 hours of, you know, gaining extra design work can be quite effective.
Yeah, so you can actually measure design ops.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you then have had some issues with design ops related things? Like, do you know any bad examples of using design ops or related processes, so to go?
Or over-processing something.
Hmm.
I haven't come across, I think this is still such a young concept still. So I haven't come across, but I think that could be possible actually to over-plan the processes. Maybe sometimes if you are like planning overly well the processes, maybe the designers have a feeling of not being in control of their work. So I think it's a balance, but I don't think we're still there. Like, we have a long time to go before we hit that.
So then what
types of companies would need design operations or a person leading design operations? Like, at what point does that need arise?
Well, as soon as the company understands the value of design, maybe they start to invest in design. And that's when there might be a need for organizing it so that the impact of the design would be as great as possible. So maybe at that point.
Yeah, I would agree on that. I think that most of the times, usually, there needs to be some sort of buy-in from the company, from the other stakeholders, that, hey, like, design is there to contribute towards the betterment of the products. So, yeah, at that point, I guess, you know, the design teams, they also start to demand also more things, because it's one thing to, you know, to be able to do your job, but then there's another thing to, you know, to be efficient about it and, you know, make sure that things are rolling out well.
I think we are like one wave behind development, because there was a time when not all the companies had like software development, and now they do. And something happened, and that's probably like DevOps, making the development work fluent and risk-free and releasing like all the time. And now we are in that way with design. So we want more out of the investment, design investment. So making things smooth, streamline things so that we can get so much out of it as possible. Mm.
And also incorporate the best skills in those design teams. So yeah. It also has the HR perspective to it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It has, like, for example, I guess it's all about amplifying the value that design brings as well. And also a good point is to think about the kind of, like, you know, when you have a team, then you start, you know, doing things like understanding what are their skill levels of the team, what are we missing, and, you know, what kind of people do we need. And you don't just kind of like hire blindly, like, okay, we need a designer or something like that. You really study, you know, which kind of people you want in the company.
Yeah, so some people might relate design ops leader or leading design ops to project management and even like work that lead designers do at the moment. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference, or is it just the new fancy name for the same thing?
Well, I would say that there's always a need for organizing your work. If you're a freelancer, you have to do that by yourself. And then if you are a small company that has one team or one project that you're working on, maybe it's the project manager who is doing that. So if we're talking about design ops, I think we're talking about scale there. It's a company thing. Maybe it's when you have multiple teams and you have to like step back and look at it from there. And then you have to like align the teams and so on. So it's probably not the project manager anymore. So I would say it's about scale.
Yeah, of course there is many similarities, because both of them perhaps deal with on some level with processes, mm-hmm. for example. But project management, as I understand it at least, you know, it deals with projects that have a specific roadmap, a specific timeline, and a specific due date, so to speak, that they go live, versus design operations is operations that happen across your company, that deal with cross-collaboration, and they are, in a way, more permanent, perhaps, than just like a project.
To understand just a bit more, what sort of a person in a company would make the ideal poster child for design ops? What role or characteristics should someone be looking for when they are trying to maybe hire a design ops lead or just push someone into that role?
I would say people skills is a priority. So it's about being able to deal with change all the time. We know organizations, they change all the time. Then you have to be like calm with that and tolerate that and be the one then sharing that that information in the organization as well. And I would say like a diplomatic, good listener, good, even better organizing things. Also, you have to be able to evangelize the value of design in the organization. So it goes like up, but also down. So it's twofold. Yeah. What do you think?
I agree with all of them. I think that a person who is able to do to understand the cross collaboration and build processes around that is very important to be there for the design teams, but also how the design teams and the work with the development teams as well. A person that can understand what are the different stakeholders in the company and which is the landscape of the company, and then try to piece the pieces, like for example, which are the key people that you need to be in contact when you are when you want something for your design teams, for example. Very big, at least for me, is to understand also the design processes themselves. So not a person who just tries to Google online, you know, what's a good design process, but someone who has perhaps experienced that and can build and adapt something from good examples, or like, you know, something that he has found to be working to that company, because I don't think there's one process that fits all.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something that is actually a really good point. Think about like a startup scene or a startup organization. It would be so different from going to a bank that has maybe a couple of design teams somewhere hidden in the organization, where you then have to like get those together on the same table. In the startup, maybe you have a lot of designers and
more freedom.
Yeah, more freedom and so on. So it's I think adjusting to the organization is really, really important.
Yeah. And maybe even if you don't have the freedom, perhaps to be able to push a little bit and, you know, like do things and ask for forgiveness later, maybe. And that's always good in my head, at least.
Since we say design ops is a mindset, or if we say design ops is a mindset, I wondered if that can also be adapted to people who work as consultants and make them feel like a team, because it so happens so often, consultants, because they work in different client offices, they don't really feel like they're the part of the same company so much. There's like a bit of, you feel a bit scattered. So I wondered if design ops could be used to make people feel a bit more like they're together, since it is about the people. Maybe that's another way of looking at design ops in a agency, for example.
I think that could be a really, really important task in the future, like onboarding not only in-house designers, but also onboarding consultants and making their work environment as friendly as in-house designers.
Yeah. And I would add that it also has a lot to do with the culture of the company. So all the companies that try to build their design teams, usually design culture can be also like very demanding task, and it takes a lot of time to build in-house as well. And I would say that many corporations, perhaps maybe they haven't figured out yet what's the best type of culture that we can have inside. But yeah, I agree, like a culture where also externals are seen as not externals but part of the team, and also the ways of working with those consultants, for example, like how do they contribute to the whole team in general? If there is a possibility that they go away, for example, is there some kind of documentation that they leave behind so that the next designer can pick up those tasks and do something? Or is it basically, you know, knowledge that they take away with them as they step out of the office? So a lot of things, which in my mind, again, has to do with communication as I think about it.
Do you mentioned that there's a curiosity, of course, at least amongst designers when it comes to design ops, but do you see like management at companies taking this seriously, or even understanding the need for it? Or is it still designers sort of trying to push and figure out that and say that we need this?
Well, I think that the value of design is understood by companies already, and the it also that the design tasks are getting more complex, and that's why the design teams are growing. I don't think the management really understands yet that we have to organize the work so that we can get most out of the design. So I think we are about there, but I think we still have to convince the management. And so this is sort of like a egg or hen thing, like, do we need the role, or do we establish the role who can then convince the management, or who does what, so that we'll come up with a team in the end.
I see it in a way that designers are still, and of course it's natural, we are part of the development teams. So that's why maybe we are linked to the development operations in that sense, at least in some companies, and design ops is not seen as a separate thing. Whereas, like, I don't know, Scrum Masters can do the same job as design ops, some might think.
I would agree with what you said, both of you. But also, I do believe that in many companies, design is still not a department itself. So that's a big issue. And coming back to what you, Alina, said, in a way, we are part of a development team most of the times. And designers then many times end up being feature factories, just pushing out pixels, like, you know, pushing out new features and so on, and they don't even have the time to question things or even research. And even research, when we come to, while we're at it, even research is something that companies, they see as a big cost up front or something like that. And so it takes a while to get there, I think, but we're definitely getting there slowly, also globally, but also when we think about Finland specifically.
So we are also at Houston. We've been toying with the idea of dipping our fingers in this design ops pot. But like I mentioned, we're a consultancy. But do you have any tips or recommendations of books or anything else that you could suggest to people like us or our listeners on how can we get started?
I usually like to use the Design Ops Canvas. I have been using it quite a lot since Dave came and gave a workshop in Finland. I have been using it extensively in our teams, and we actually had good workshops with the teams, and they see a lot, like that many thoughts that they're in the back of their heads, and then they externalize it by writing it down, and then they go like, oh, yeah, we do indeed have these problems.
Well, I would recommend one book written by Skinner. It's called Org Design for Design Orgs. And I think that's the only book at the moment.
The closest one.
But that's a good read. And then there's this designops.lol that is a Australian site, and they are really active there. I think the most active design ops people are in Australia and in the States. So this one is from Australia.
But also the two of you have been organizing, or in addition to some other people, I believe, you have started a design ops meetups in Helsinki. So what's the motivation behind this?
Well, first of all, it started, well, funnily, I was interested in this topic, and I was Googling who else would be interested in this topic in Helsinki area. And Angelos was like writing, or Angelos was sharing something on LinkedIn about the subject. So I contacted him and said, like, hey, you seem to be interested in the same topic as I am. So should we do something together, like in Helsinki? After some time, you came up with the idea of having this design ops meetup. And so we arranged the first one in August.
We have been talking a lot about companies abroad, which has maybe established a more mature way of doing design ops. But what about Finland? Do you have some kind of view of what is the current state of Finland concerning design ops?
Currently in Finland, there is a lot of interest. We can go to that later, but we have also, we're trying to build a community around it. But I would say there's a lot of interest from people. People do connect with the problems that DesignOps is trying to solve. So they want to hear more. They want to understand what can they do to solve it. So it's more so far about advocacy towards design operations and perhaps like establishing first the mindset that we have been talking about.
If our listeners want to join in on all the design ops fun that's happening in Helsinki, how can they do that?
If they want to be part of the Slack community, they can contact us through the Design Ops Hell with one L. And that's in Twitter. And they can ask for an invite there. Otherwise, we are making the events and we are announcing them through that handle as well in Twitter all the time. And we are announcing them also in different communities like the IXDA group in Facebook, for example. But yeah, those are our main channels so far.
But if you're interested, be quick because the events have been taking place in quite small venues. So they will be booked in a day or so.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in, Angelos and Sonia.
Thank you also.
Thank you for having us.
A quick note before we sign off. There's a new design conference happening in Helsinki called Joint Futures. The conference features talks from Emily Campbell, Joss Silverman, Hannah Nagel, and many other amazing people. It's from September 3rd to 5th in Helsinki, and early bird tickets are still on sale.
We will leave links to the conference and all the other resources we've talked about in the episode's show notes.
Don't forget to leave us a review or rating and subscribe wherever you listen to this. We release a new episode on the second Friday of every month. This episode was recorded and edited at Houston Inc.'s office in finally sunny Helsinki.